This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The long-awaited US-made portable anti-tank missile complexes have arrived in Ukraine. The FGM-148 Javelin, a third-generation portable system produced by Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, works on a shoot-and-forget basis. Having fired the missile, the operator doesn't have to monitor and correct its trajectory. High-precision Javelin missiles are capable of destroying tanks and other armored vehicles, as well as ground fortifications and even helicopters and drones, which is extremely important for Ukraine since Russia has amassed a formidable tank force at Ukraine's eastern border. President Petro Poroshenko has thanked his US counterpart Donald Trump for giving the green light to the supply of the Javelins, which US laws normally prohibit in order to prevent escalation in warring countries. I confirm that the Ukrainian army has received the long-awaited weapons. They have significantly reinforced our deterrence potential and strengthened Euro-Atlantic security. We will continue to build up our defense potential for rebuffing Russian aggression. I thank President Trump for supporting Ukraine, for the leadership and important example, Poroshenko wrote on Facebook. According to Michael Carpenter, director of the Biden Center at Pennsylvania University, the Javelins will help Ukraine defend itself from Russia's incessant aggression. Ukraine has finally received the Javelins. Morally, politically, tactically, and strategically, this is the right move. It will help Ukraine defend itself from Russia's incessant aggression that has already claimed more than 10,000 lives, Carpenter wrote on Twitter, commenting on the State Department's report on the delivery of 37 Javelin missile complexes to Ukraine. Importantly, Ukraine pays for these missiles. In the long term, it would be much better for Ukraine to reform its defense industry that would be able to make its own anti-tank weapons, Carpenter wrote.
You are listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
On April 30th, 4 years after Kyiv launched a counterterrorism operation in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions, it was completed and the Allied operation commenced. The Allied forces comprised the armed forces, the State Border Service, the National Police and the Security Service, all commanded and coordinated by the military headquarters. Allied forces commander Colonel Serhiy Naev told reporters in Kramatorsk, Donetsk region on Wednesday that the counterterrorism operation, led and coordinated by the Security Service of Ukraine, SBU, had fulfilled its mission. Now it is a military operation and the Allied forces command will be in charge. I know that the people living on both sides of the contact line are apprehensive about possible escalation. We understand their concern, but I assure them that we don't plan to step up military activity and we don't expect any upsurge in hostilities. The Allied operation is aimed at restoring peace in this war-torn region, at liquidating all dividing lines and artificial barriers that separate Ukrainian families. We are here not to fan the conflict, but to extinguish it as soon as possible, Colonel Naev said. He said that being aware of the enemy's predictable intent, the Allied forces would reinforce and re-equip their frontline positions and would be on high alert. Colonel Naev explained the main differences between the counterterrorism operation and the Allied operation.
Головна відмінність у тому, що операція об'єднаних сил є військова операція.
The main difference is that the Allied operation is a military operation. The reason is that we are dealing not only with the self-proclaimed Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, which the Verkhovna Rada has termed as terrorist organizations. We are dealing with Russian troops that have occupied a part of Ukrainian territory. In fact, the so-called 1st and 2nd Army Corps operating in the Donetsk and Luhansk Republics are military formations structured according to the Russian Army regulations. They use Russian weapons and equipment and are commanded by Russian officers. They are directly subordinated to the South Command of the Armed Forces of the Russian Federation, said Allied Operation Commander Colonel Serhiy Naev.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
The situation in the Donbas war zone shows no signs of de-escalation as the Russian-backed militants continue to breach the ceasefire, targeting positions of the Ukrainian allied forces along the engagement line. Over the past week, the enemy kept using artillery and mortars, banned by the Minsk agreements and the international humanitarian law, according to reports by the Defense Ministry. The intensity of enemy strikes remains high. In order to quench the enemy fire, the Ukrainian troops have been using light infantry weapons, according to Ukrainian Defense Ministry. A number of Ukrainian soldiers have been wounded over the past week, and the local population is still suffering from the hostilities. Among the instances of civilian casualties and enemy shelling caused damage to 6 buildings in the town of Marinka in the Donetsk region at night on the 1st of May, according to the report by the Donetsk Region Police Department. On the next day, a large-caliber artillery shelling had occurred in the residential areas of Troitske in Luhansk region, also causing damage to private households. On Thursday, Chief Monitor of the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission to Ukraine, Ertugrul Opakon, has urged the sides of the conflict to ensure the life and safety of the workers of Donetsk Water Filtration Station, and of civilian monitoring officers from the OSCE SMM who are currently facilitating the workers' access to the station. In his statement, Opakon stressed yet again on the unacceptability of endangering lives and jeopardizing the operation of the facility upon which more than 300,000 people on both sides of the contact line depend for drinking water. He reminded about last year's commitments by the sides to specifically protect the Donetsk filtration station and other critical civilian infrastructure facilities. Meanwhile, Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs Wes Mitchell said following his meeting with Petro Poroshenko that the door for a peaceful solution was open for the Russian president to react.
We have made significant effort under the leadership of Ambassador Kurt Volker to extend the opening for the Russians to find a peaceful solution in Ukraine. I think we have to be crystal clear that this is not a conflict. This is a war, and it's an ongoing act of aggression by the Russians. We are interested in finding a solution that is a genuine UN-led effort that brings peace. We're not interested in arrangements that simply act as a fig leaf for the Russians to consolidate the territorial gains that they've made.
Wes Mitchell told the press on Wednesday. To that, he noted that the sanctions would be lifted only after Russia would stop its aggression in Ukraine and withdraw the troops from the Donbas. Wes Mitchell also announced about the U.S. doubling their financial assistance that is aimed at enhancing cybersecurity in Ukraine from $5 to $10 million in order to counter cyber attacks coming from the Russian Federation.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week. For Participants of the 22nd Ukrainian Antarctic Expedition return home with scientific discoveries. For more than a year in the conditions of Antarctica, round the clock, the expedition participants carried out scientific research. In particular, they continued the long-term studies of the magnetosphere of the Earth, studying magnetic fields from the center of the globe to distant outer space. Ukrainian winter men are also called jokingly guardians of global climate change of the Earth. Here is what the expedition member, biologist Vitaly Smaholy, who is studying the life of penguins, said.
Пінгвіни та не тільки пінгвіни, взагалі тваринний світ Антарктики, рослинний світ Антарктики є дуже гарними біомаркерами.
Penguins, and not only penguins, the Antarctic animal world in general, the Antarctic flora are very beautiful biomarkers, which show a real change in the climate, in particular its warming. The cold-blooded species of penguins, Adelies, in particular from our sector of the Antarctic, do not disappear, but their range is gradually reducing and they migrate further to the south, where the latitude is colder. It is warm for them here already, and for the past 50 years, the temperature has risen by 4.5 degrees, but their ecological niche is occupied by thermophilic species of penguins, those that move from the coast of South America. These are donkey penguins, said Vitaly Smaholy. Together with the participants of the 22nd Antarctic Expedition, scholars of the seasonal expedition, which lasted 12 days, returned to Ukraine as well. During that time, they managed to make scientific discoveries. Biologist Ivan Parnikoza will tell more.
Зокрема, в співпраці з колегами з Польщі нам вдалося відкрити 4 види нових безхребетних, так званих тихоходок.
In particular, in cooperation with the Polish colleagues, we were able to discover 4 types of new invertebrates that were not known to science. If the plants, then say as a marker, indicate that the climate is slightly fluctuating, that is the exact definition in this case, fluctuating. Of course, warming, it's a fact, it was. But now climatologists, or say meteorologists, are waiting where this change will go further. The vascular plants for the past 2 seasons spread to where they had disappeared in the previous time, said Ivan Parnikoza. Scientific researches cannot be carried out effectively without a cook, diesel engineers and others who provide vital functions of the Vernadsky Antarctic Station. Minister of Education and Science Lilia Hrinevich emphasized the importance of the work of Ukrainian scientists in Antarctica and the significance of the results of their scientific search. Ukraine has been conducted a continuous series of observations at the station since 1996, and a number of climate and atmosphere parameters are tracked at this station from the longest of all stations in Antarctica, from the 40s and 60s. And it is important to continuously receive data every year to have a complete picture of change in the atmosphere, the magnetosphere, the climate and the biosphere of the Earth, as Lilia Hrinevich said. This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
A week ahead of the Eurovision 2018 Song Contest in Lisbon, the organizers have announced the names of national jury members in each of the 43 countries that have confirmed their participation. The Ukrainian jury consists of pop singers Kristina Solovy and Aloise, producer Vitaly Klimov, music radio host Denis Zhupnik, and musician Artur Danielian. The Ukrainian jury's decisions will be pronounced by Natalia Zhishchenko, the frontwoman of the popular electro band Onuka. She told Radio Ukraine that she would be honored to be part of such a grand international event.
Це все ж таки свято музики, свято міжнародне, і Україна дуже яскраво себе заявляла багато разів.
It's really a feast of music, a big international event where Ukraine has put itself across more than once with its music, with its performers, with its bright shows. And it's an honor to me to be part of this holiday on behalf of Ukraine, said Natalia Zhishchenko. It should be noted that Ukraine is one of the few countries to have made it to the finals at all the Eurovision contests since its debut in 2003. It wasn't a big success then. Alexander Ponomarev only came in 14th with his Hasta la Vista, but a year later, Ruslana sent the audience in raptures with her fiery, wild dances. In 2016, Ukraine won the first prize again with Jamala's song 1944, featuring the tragedy of Crimean Tatars under the Stalin regime. The 63rd Eurovision Song Contest will be hosted by Portugal after Salvador Sobral's victory in 2017 in Kyiv with his lyrical composition Amar Pelas Dois. The semi-finals are scheduled for the 8th and 10th of May, and the grand final for the 12th. Ukraine will be represented by the young singer Melovin with the song Under the Ladder. Before departing for Lisbon, Melovin told Ukrainian reporters that he had good expectations.
В останній такий проміжок часу мені дуже сняться такі кольорові сни. Мені здається, це якийсь добрий знак.
Every night lately I've been having color dreams. I think it's a good sign. Melovin will perform in the second semifinal on the 10th of May under entry number 18.
And with that we end the Ukrainian diary. A review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.